So tonight, it's a cold night and KU's playing, so we have a smaller crowd. I know Goforth's going to be there and some others. Tonight, we're on the 11th step, and we're on page 86. And I spent quite a bit of time on the 10th step, and we did the steps we took as well, besides the book. And we're on the 11th step. I did a meeting last week on the beginning of the 11th step on page 85. And I looked at the review at night. And so the suggestions on prayer and meditation, they tell us that we need the proper attitude. I went through some thoughts on what that is. And then we do the nightly review. That's how it starts in the big book. So you retire at night and you constructively review your day. And you hear a lot of people say that they do the 10th step at night, but the 11th step is where you do your nightly review, because it's a review and meditation and prayer. You're looking at your day and you're meditating on your day, and you ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures. So it's a prayer and meditation. The 10th step is done during the day, all day long, trying to keep us in conscious contact with our Creator. Getting out of self, recognizing when we're back in self-centered thinking and taking corrective measures right away so that we don't carry things around. And it says we're continually growing and understanding effectiveness of the world of the spirit, and that's in step 10 is how we live one day at a time with God. And very powerful instructions in that paragraph on page 84. There are five instructions that you do all day long to stay in contact, and it gives you the 10-step promises, which say that you have a relationship with your Creator, the problems has been removed, you react sanely to alcohol, you're not fighting everybody and everyone. We've gone through that. Then step 10 ends with asking you to carry a vision of God's will in all your activities. And it says you must do this. So all day long, you're going to carry a vision of God's will to all your activities, and then try to be the person God created. And then prayer meditation starts with retiring at night. Now, why did they start out with a nighttime review? Well, I think they did that because we want to clear up everything at night from the day. So we do our spot check inventory all day long, and then at night we review the day and we see where we were back in self. And it says, you know, discuss things with another person at once. Were we kind and loving towards all? What could I have done better? You meditate on that. Were you thinking of yourself most of the time? Were you thinking what you could do for others or what you could pack in the stream of life? And then after you do that review and you meditate on it, you ask God, that's a prayer. We ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures. So every night I kind of do this. I have the paragraph memorized and I go through. And the longer you do this, you know where you were off the beam. You know where you had some fear, or where you were getting angry or bothered by something, were you selfish or dishonest? But the more you do it, the less you have, or you didn't spend a lot of time on it. Doesn't mean you get perfect. And then I always like, was I kind and loving towards all? Well, of course not. But why wasn't I? It's because that's the way I wanted to be at that moment. And so I look at that, and was I thinking myself all the time? Was I thinking what I could do for others? And when you get on this pattern of looking at this at night, it kind of gives you a vision of God's will for you all day long. And I saw the connection today. So God's will for me, it says we carry a vision of God's will for me all day. We must carry it. It's not a conditional. So what could it be? Well, be kind and loving towards everybody. Was I not thinking of myself all the time? Thinking of what I could do for others or what I could pack in the stream of life, love and service. So I got that out of this paragraph. And so that's what you review at night. Now, the reason why is it connects. And the other thing about the 11th step, if you look on page 85, it doesn't say we must go further. It means more action. Step 11. It doesn't say step 11 cannot be done by anybody new. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say step 11 can't be done until you've done something. It says we suggest you do it right away. And so 10 and 11 you can start doing right away. The problem is if you haven't worked with a sponsor, you don't have the spiritual tools to see when you're separated from God, because you haven't done your fourth step and you haven't seen about your anger and your fear, the truth about them and your conduct. But you could start right away. Why wait? And so it says, when awakening, now it doesn't say, on awakening, if you've been in the program a while, it says on awakening. And then when it says we retire at night, it doesn't say, you know, sober alcoholics or drinking alcoholics or people with 10 years. All of us, when I retire at night, I should constructively review my day. And I got that, that came to me today. And it says on awakening. So everybody wakes up. We hope we all wake up, right? And it says on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. Now they put this in the book. I hadn't seen this before. I read it a million times. But they start, when we wake up, getting us into just staying in the day. And then what did I read from scripture? It says, tomorrow has enough trouble. Yesterday has enough trouble. Stay in the day. Jesus said it better than I did. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Powerful stuff. And so where it says right away, just try to get through the 24 hours. And then this is the way the book is written. It's so beautiful, the style. You consider your plans for the day, right? So you wake up, you think of your plans for the day, but it says before you begin. Now, why do they say before you begin, me thinking about my plans for the day? Because they're my plans, and they may not be God's plans for the day. That's a really important concept. I want to think about God's plans for the day for me. And it says, before we begin, we ask God. And remember, asking God is a powerful petition of prayer with expectation that it will be answered. It's not a prayer hoping it'll be answered. When you ask God in the context of this prayers in the big book, it's a petition to God that we expect it be answered. And I think that's in the book of James. And they go through that. When you ask God, and you're asking God, understand that he's the power, and you need his power, and you're seeking him, the prayers will be answered. But they're never self-centered prayers. They're usually asking God how to direct your thinking, how to direct your behavior, how to help you deal with circumstances. So I ask God to direct my thinking. Now, why is that a good idea? Well, it's a good idea for me, because my thinking separated me from God. It caused all the problems in my life. Now, I still think, some people say I don't. My wife's not here tonight. But I still think during the day, but I don't have to believe everything that I think. And I have certain thoughts that are of service to God and others, but then I can always tell him my thoughts are drifting back into me, and we all do that. So we have a prayer to ask God to direct my thinking. And then I wrote towards what? Well, his will for me and how to be of service to him. And then especially I'm going to ask, this is another prayer, that my thinking be divorced. Everybody knows what divorce is in AA. Separated, divorced. Now think about it. It's a decree. It's a final decree from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking motives. And this line has meant a lot to me. I want to ask God, and I do this every morning, to direct my thinking. Especially I ask, and I don't do it rote anymore. I really try to think about it. I want to be divorced from my self-centered motives. It's my motives. I always thought my motives were good. Anybody think that? They were always good. And alcoholics, I think the greatest character strength of an alcoholic is, and I hadn't thought of this before, is to be able to rationalize any of our behaviors, have it make sense to us, no matter how preposterous. And we believed it. But I don't want to rationalize my motives anymore, because I know, I can tell now when my motives are not good, and I want to be divorced from self-pity, thinking myself, poor me, dishonest. My dishonesty cannot be only like shoplifting or speeding, but dishonest about my expectations of everyone and everybody and of myself. And sometimes I'm not honest about it. I have unreasonable expectations of other people and of myself at times. And self-seeking, what I'm seeking to for self, what I decide I need, and then I go seek it. And those motives will always produce, or may almost always produce, negative consequences and negative actions. And I don't want to live that way anymore. When I came in, that's the way I lived. I didn't know it was bad. I didn't know my motives were bad. Who else was going to take care of me? And now I have God to take care of me, and I just want to serve Him. Now here's a great promise. Under these conditions, where my thinking is divorced from my selfish motives, then I can use my mind. And I can employ my mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Now, we may not have acted like it when we came in here, but we all have really good minds. All alcoholics are very smart. I heard an alcoholic say that at a meeting, speaker meeting. He says, alcoholics are unusually intelligent. And of course, he was saying that. That was a joke, by the way. Nobody laughed. So under these conditions, I can employ our mental faculties with assurance. And so I hear at meetings a lot, and I know people mean well, and I thought it was great. I probably said it, that all I'm going to do each day is the next right thing. Everybody think that's good? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, who decides what the next right thing is? That's the problem. You see, if it's an alcoholic and it's me, I have decided all my life what the next right thing was, and they were wrong. It was because my motives were wrong. So I want to do the next right thing that God's will for me to do. And so I have to go seek God. Remember, it says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first my relationship with God, and then decide what is the next right thing. And we're going to see that because we're going to read that paragraph that John loves about how we pause during the day, right? And we ask God's direction. So I don't always know what the next right thing is, especially if I'm reacting out of anger or fear, right? Anybody else do that? Am I the only one here? And so we're changing in this one paragraph, we're changing everything, and it's just an awakening. We're going to consider my plans today, being divorced from these self-centered motives, asking God to help me through the day, and then I'm going to use my brain, my mind all day long to employ my mental faculties to serve God and others, get out of self. Now, here's another line. Richard's not here tonight, but I remember when we went over this and we talked about it. My thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when my thinking is clear to wrong motives. So once again, they say, now think about it. We have lives. Everybody has a life. But the life that's killing us is my thinking life. See, what my actions are the result of my thinking life, right? What I think is what I do. And remember, the problem of alcoholics centers in the mind. So it's my thinking life that's caused all the problems in my life. Now, I didn't know that when I came here. I thought it was you or other people. But my thinking caused all my problems because it was my thought life, so it was my motives. And it, remember, self-reliance failed me. And so my thought life, what I see, how I see the world, will be placed on a much higher plane when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And then the tenth step is how we look all day long at my thought life when it's on selfish motives, and how we stop and we ask God at once to change our motives, right? That's basically what we do all day long. So we're never going to stop seeing our thought life through self-centered motives, but we don't have to pay attention to it anymore. That's the way we were created. God created us with self-will, but we don't want to be dominated by our self-will to get what myself wants. We want to use self-will to get what God wants. So willpower is good, and your mind is good as long as it's on the right plane. And the whole AA program is designed for me to have a relationship with God, which is called conscious contact, so that I'm doing that all day long. So step 11 is seeking to improve my conscious contact. Now, we talked about Chuck C. in his New Pair of Glasses speech, said that the only problem for an alcoholic is what? Conscious separation from God and the world. So an alcoholic has a thought life. His thinking life has separated him from God and the world. He's back in his mind. And when we do that, we're on our own, and it's not pretty. And then he says there's one problem, that's the one problem, and there's only one solution, conscious contact. And when if I'm in contact with God in the world, I'm not, and I'm in a different world. Now we call that the world of the spirit, because that's really the real world. The real world is God and everybody in it. But alcoholics have this, I guess it's a mental illness, because our mind takes us out of the real world. And we live in this world that we've created. And we believe everything we think in that, and we act on it. And so AA is designed to get us out of this self-centered world that's not real, it's not true. That's what our four step is all about. Everything we saw and thought is really not true. It's the way we saw it. And we want to see it as God sees it. So all day long, we want to stop doing that anymore. Now, if you don't believe that and you're new, wait till you do your four step. And wait till you see your life story. And if you've done it a while, you can recognize it. Can people recognize today when you're getting off the beam? You can sort of sense it. And so we don't want to live on, and those are called old ideas, remember? And we have to let go of them absolutely. And our old ideas of what we thought and how we saw the world. And so we enter the world of spirit in step 10, and step 11 is how we improve our relationship with God to stay in the world of the spirit. And you don't even know it's happening. This isn't something where you're here a while and all day you wake up and you get a certificate in the mail that you're in the world of the spirit. This happens over time. You begin to realize you're seeing things differently. You're not reacting the way you were. You're getting angry and you don't want to be that way. You don't want to be judgmental. You don't want to have fear anymore. You don't want to be harmful. You can see when you're starting to get self-centered in your behavior. It just happens. And it's the power that you relate with. See, God isn't up there for me. God's here, and God can express himself and help me see that these things aren't his will. It just happens. You can't explain it till you do it. Maybe other people will talk about it when we open up. So that paragraph is really powerful. I mean, we could spend a whole weekend on that. You're all glad we're not going to. And so we'll move on. So here's the next. So that's the first prayer and meditation when you wake up. And then we went through the prayers and meditation at night. Now, what about the day? In thinking about our day, now they don't say thinking about tomorrow, because then you're bringing fear into it. Now, you can still have a plan for tomorrow that you might want to carry out today. So if you're going to go on a trip, you might want to go and get the luggage today so you'll have it for the trip tomorrow. They're not talking about that. They're talking about fear of tomorrow. And you want to stay out of that. So you're thinking about your day, you may face indecision. Now, when we were alcoholics, we never were indecisive. We always knew what was right or wrong, didn't we? We never had trouble making decisions, at least most alcoholics I know. We never had trouble deciding on the course of action. But now, we're not sure because we want to have the right motives, right? And we're not always sure what the next right thing is. So we may have indecision about what to do next. And this is really important thing, and I have to remember this because I'll just say to myself, well, gee, I don't have to make that decision right now. I don't have to decide that. I don't know what to do now. And it says you're going to meditate that when you face indecision, you may not be able to determine which course to take. And says here's another prayer. I'm going to ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought of decision. So I meditate on this, that today Michael may not know what's best. When that happens, I don't have to say something right away. I don't have to make a decision. I don't have to react. I can ask God for inspiration to the thought of decision. So I try to meditate on that, and then it's hard to do all the time during the day, because in the beginning you don't recognize it. But now I can stop myself and say, you know, I don't have to reply to that, or I don't have to decide that right now. It's not right there. It really helped me in my work, because all day long I would get bombarded with all these problems, and you know, this one can't walk, and this one can't stand up, and this one can't eat, endless. And I would have to stop and say, well, I'm not gonna fix that one right now. And I'd take the chart, I put it down here. I said, what do I have to do right now? And then this one, I'll put over here. And then it would just come to me, and sometimes I would say, you know, I just don't know what we're gonna do right now, I'm gonna think about it. And then at night, I would always, whenever I woke up, the right answer would come, these thoughts would come. And they were usually ideas that I hadn't had before. And so I began to rely on that. I told the patients, I said, well, I'm not sure. Let me think about it. I'm going to pray about it tonight, and then tomorrow we'll make a decision. And it's surprising the things that come in your mind when you're open-minded from God. And also with problems. Anybody have any problems in recovery where something bad was happening, you thought, or some crisis, and you just didn't know how it was going to turn out, you didn't know what to do? And then you say, well, you know, I don't have to worry about that today. It's not happening right now. And God, I'm going to put it in your hands, and we'll see what happens. And then it turns out entirely different than you ever thought. The solution is something you never would have thought of. And what you were thinking was going to happen never happened. So it says, we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision. We relax and take it easy. Now, that's not always easy to do, but what they're telling you is, it's not my problem anymore. I'm not attached to this situation anymore. I don't know the right thought. I've asked God. So it's like putting it in the God box during the day or at night. You say, I'm going to put it in the God box. I don't know right now. I'm going to give it to you, God, and then we'll see. And we don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers will come after we try this for a while. So here's where I get the right thinking, the right answers. When I've given it to God, I've asked God for inspiration and intuitive thought or decision. So to me, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm seeing more of the power of these words the more we study it. It says, what used to be the hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Now, being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. Now, I know that's true. It's true for me, and it's always true when you meet new people. You're working with them, and you're working with them for a month, and then they tell you they're going to get married to somebody they met 2 weeks before. And you say, well, and they say, it's God's will for me. I prayed about it. God told me to do this. I said, well, you might pray some more. You know? But you can't talk somebody out of what they believe God told them to do. But sometimes they really believe that it's coming from God, but it's really self-centered thinking. So we have to learn to separate the two. It's not easy. But you can over time. That's why you have a sponsor. That's why you call somebody. So you share it with somebody else, and they can sometimes maybe help you see it differently or suggest maybe you go back to God and not act on it. It says we may pray for this presumption, all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, they're talking about our thinking again, will as time passes be more and more in the plane of inspiration. The whole thing I was talking about at the meeting when we were working together, the whole big book isn't really about your doing, it's your thinking and how you be. And if you be and think a certain way, then your actions will follow. And so your thinking will as time passes be more and more in the plane of inspiration. You come to rely upon it. And remember, it says God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, right? And we're beginning to get directions from God, and we begin to rely on it. And it's something you can't explain, but you sort of know when the right thing is happening. You can sort of tell when you've made a decision. And it says, we conclude the prayer period of meditation, and this is the meditation with a prayer. So not only are we praying for the right idea and to pause and to let God work, but then during the day we hope we act on it. See, this is how we're supposed to act. We're meditating on how we're going to act. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that I be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. So here's where the next right thinking, that I have a prayer that God will show me all through the day what my next step is to be. And the tense of it says, we resolutely turn our thoughts to others we can help. You know, turn out of me, turn to what needs to be done right now. If I'm stewing about something in the anger or something happened in the past or something in the future, I have to stop and say, now what is right now in front of me to do? And God, how should I handle this right now? And so I try to keep the past and the future out of my day, but we don't do it. We don't do it all the time. We're alcoholics, but we recognize it now. We don't have to pay attention to it. It says, whatever I need to take care of such problems throughout the day, what my next step is to be. And then here's another prayer. I ask for freedom from self-will. So I want to be shown all through the day what the next step is to be, and that it be free from self-will. And be careful to make no requests for ourselves only. And I think this is one of the most powerful things in the big book. It's a change in the way you pray. You don't pray for what you think you need. You pray for God's guidance on how to be of service to others, and what your next step is to be to serve God and others, and then you'll have everything you need. And so in the past, a lot of us would pray to God to get something, and he's like our assistant, you know. We're making a list, and, you know, I need the big house or, you know, something, and then we want God to give it to us, and then we don't get it, and we say, well, prayer didn't work. But that's self-centered prayer. But I think if you pray all day what your next step should be, and to be free from self-will, and you do that, you'll be surprised at the quality of your life. You may ask for others, however, yourself, if others be helped. So somebody said they needed a bigger car so they could drive more people to the meetings. I don't think that's what they're talking about. And we have to be careful, because if we're self-centered, we can get back in the self very quickly, right? And then once we're back in self, we've put a priority on whatever we think. And then we believe it, and then we expect it to happen, or we're afraid it won't happen, and then we're back in anger and fear. So we have to be very careful. It says many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. So that's these paragraphs, I mean, they're so powerful. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wiser friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we've been discussing. So this really is telling you what's AA-approved literature. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. So what they're telling you is to be open-minded to all sources of information to help you grow to relationship with your Creator. And the only thing that keeps you from doing that is your prejudice. You prejudge something and you say, well, that's not going to help me. I have this good friend, Bruce from Minnesota, gave me this guy's number to call to help me with my morning meditation. I haven't called him yet. But I told him today I will, and he's going to hear it on the tape. I'm going to call the guy tomorrow and see if he can help me. I'll learn something more about meditation, because it's hard for me to learn. I've been doing quiet time, but I can always learn more and do it better. And it says, and here's your suggestion for the day. This is every day, every minute. As we go through the day, we pause. Now, somebody look up what pause is, because alcoholics misunderstand that sometimes. We pause when agitated or doubtful. That means when the emotions or the intellect is bothered. Agitated or doubtful. That means you're something's bothering you, something's filling you with fear, something's causing you emotions, your emotions to be out of sort. And we ask for the right thought or action. Now, why do you want to pause? Because this is a serenity prayer. See, I have to pause and ask God to give me serenity, peace. And serenity to me means I can see the truth about a situation, and I'm not seeing it through self-centered eyes. So the serenity prayer for me was always, give me courage or give me acceptance. But no, what I need from God is serenity. Serenity means that I can see it the way God sees it. And then I know what to change or what to accept. And before, I would see it, and I'd always know what to change or accept, and it would be wrong. I always had a lot of patients who just didn't want to stop treatment. They didn't want to go on hospice. They didn't want to give up. And I'd say to them, I said, well, here's the deal. I said, there's always something else you can do. I said, but if we try to change something we need to accept, we're going to cause harm. I said, so we have to ask God to give us the serenity to see what we need to change or what we need to accept. And so when you explain it that way, they could see it. Because if you can always do something, But if it's something you need to accept and you try to change it, it's the wrong action. And so that helps sometimes with that. Those are always difficult conversations. And it says, I pause when and ask for the right thought or action from God. Asking is always prayer, right? And I constantly remind, and when I'm doing this, when I'm asking God, you see it all ties together, for the right thought or action, I'm reminding myself so that I no longer run the show. So it's done automatically. I pause whenever anything's bothering me. I ask for the right action from God, and then I want to remind myself that I no longer run the show, so I need the God, and I need his help and his guidance, humbly saying to myself each day, thy will be done. Does anybody do that? If you do, you might want to speak about it when we open up, because it really changes your life. And because you don't want to react anymore in conditions that's not fit spiritually. We talked about that in step 10. We want to react all situations in fit spiritual condition. And fit spiritual condition means that I just have a relationship with God that's telling me what's the right way to react. And so we don't have to react anymore in our old ways. We can react differently. And it says then if you're much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. The way you react, you'll be in much less danger of reacting in a way that's going to be destructive to you. And excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions, they're dangerous. They're dangerous for an alcoholic. And it says we become more and more efficient. Why? Because I'm not tiring so easily, for I'm not burning up energy foolishly as I did when I was trying to arrange life to suit myself. Think about that. So you pause instead of trying to arrange life to suit yourself. You remind yourself that God's running the show. You ask for the right thought or action, and you're not going to be burning up energy foolishly. And it says it works. It really does. And I think you could say that paragraph works, right? Or you could say everything up to page 88 works. It really does. And it works because we don't have to live the way we did. We don't have to have the personality we had before. We don't have to have the actions we did before. We don't have to be disturbed. There's so many promises just in that line. It works, it really does. And remember, the chapter starts how it works, and then when you get to 88, which is the end of the instructions in step 11, it says it works. And so if you've done it, you know it works. Now, if it says, if you know it works, then what do you have? Faith. You have knowledge of God, and you have something you can count on and you can go to all the time. What could be better than that, right? And it says, we alcoholics are undisciplined. Anybody agree with that? So we let God discipline us in the simple way we've just outlined. That could have been these last pages. It could be the whole book. And God disciplines us in a simple way. What does that mean? It means that if I'm separated from God, I don't feel good. If I am separated from God, I get irritable, restless, discontented. If I'm separated from God, I make foolish decisions. If I'm separated from God, I have fear. I'm angry, and I don't have any quality of emotional sobriety. And so God lets us feel that if we separate from him. He doesn't want us to be happy when we're separated from us. And so you can't really be content if you're separated from God. And our whole life we had a longing for God. We were never good enough, right? We were never okay. And what we learn in AA is we're okay just when we're with God. It's as good as it's going to get. It says, but this is not all. There's action, more actions. Faith without works is dead. And then we'll end with that line. Faith produces works. The works produce faith. And so the work of the steps produces faith. And then if you have faith, it'll show in your works. So if you have true faith in God, you'll see it. You'll see it are you working with somebody? Are you helping somebody? Somebody asks, well, why do you always go up to the new person and try to help them? Well, it says, freely give what you're given. And if I have true faith and I have a relationship with God, why would I want to not help somebody else get that? Doesn't mean that I'm better, that I could do that. Just means, why would I not try to help somebody? And then the more you do it, the more faith you have, and then the more you want to do it. So you feel good. I feel good in AA. In the program by doing good deeds and not by having things or accomplishments. I don't know if that makes any sense. And so it's a whole different way of living. And so we ended with that. We went a little bit long, so don't be mad at me. And then we're going to do something different on step 11 when I come back.